Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. I want to thank you for tuning in to our Jet Talks podcast. Today, we have an exciting group of experts joining us to discuss the essential financial considerations of a business jet owner in their process of selecting an aircraft management partner. My name is Sean McAteer, and I'll be your moderator for this session. And it is my pleasure to introduce the following three gentlemen who will act as our expert advisors on the topic. First up, we have Michel Bouffat, Head of Aviation and Yacht Finance with Credit Suisse. Michel joined Credit Suisse in 2001 and has held various asset finance positions within the company. He holds both an MBA as well as a master's in mechanical engineering. We also have Norbert Eric with us, who is a 29-year veteran of jet aviation and currently holds the title of Vice President of Flight Services, EMEA and APAC. And we also have David Dalpiez, who is Norbert's counterpart, holding the title of Vice President of Flight Services, US, who is also a 22-year veteran of jet aviation. Both gentlemen have held several senior leadership positions within the company in various departments, ranging from maintenance to technical services to client services and sales. With that being said, I want to thank the three expert advisors for joining us today, and I'll kick off the conversation with the first question directed to you, Michelle. I'm sure there are many drivers when it comes to a financial institution such as yours, considering how and when to approve an aircraft management company. What would you say are the top three decision drivers in approving an aircraft management provider?
First of all, it might be helpful if I explain a little bit the role of an aircraft manager in our security structure. It consists of three pillars. First of all is the financial strength of the beneficial owner, who with a guarantee is actually liable for repaying the loan. So that's the first one. The second pillar is the mortgage on the aircraft, or if we do a lease, of course, the ownership. And together with that, we rely on the technical or the excellent technical condition of the aircraft. And the last one is the manager. Because for us, the manager has to make sure that the aircraft is always airworthy in perfect technical condition. And secondly, and this is very important for us as a bank, the manager gives us access to the aircraft in case of a default. So if we need, and of course we hope that never happens, repossess an aircraft, this is the way we can get access to the aircraft, we can fly it somewhere, and then ultimately sell it. So for the manager, that means he must have the knowledge and the experience to manage and to maintain an aircraft which we finance. So ideally, he has experience with exactly the type of aircraft and the model that we finance. And of course, we prefer managers who have several aircrafts and not just one or turboprops when we do jets. So that would not be ideal. The second, which is very important for us, is the organization. We want to see that the manager has the right organization to actually deal with these aircraft. So we want to see who does the combo function. We want to know how he manages pilots, etc. This is particularly important when we look at privately operated aircraft where we don't have an AOC. And lastly, what is important for us is that we have a tripartite agreement in place where we, the owner, and the manager sign an agreement where we clearly fix what are the responsibilities of each parties and who is in charge of what, and is in particular what happens if we have an event of default, which is the most important in that area. Then lastly, and that's now the fourth criteria, and I have to say this is not absolutely important, is of course financial stability of the manager, because we would like to have a manager who stays in business while we finance, and so we don't have changes. But this is clearly from these four criteria the least important.
Very interesting, Michelle. Thank you so much for outlining the three plus the fourth component of what it really means to select an aircraft management provider. I'm kind of a little interested, though, to dive a little bit further into that last criteria that you laid out. I know that you mentioned that it's really not the main driver in your selection, What factors would an institution such as yourself evaluate in determining the financial strength of a partner when you're selecting an aircraft management provider?
Well, as I said, it's not absolutely important. So we would rather do it, short and easy. So, I mean, the proper way, of course, would be that we would ask for financial statements so we could really do a proper analysis. But I think in most cases, this is not necessary at all. We more or less rely on the operator, such the experience that we have with them, because we most operators or managers, for example, Jet Aviation, we have a long-standing experience and relationship. So we don't really want to see the detailed figures. So that is important. And then other factors are important as well. If a manager is part of a larger structure of companies, if there are partner companies or strong mother firms, then of course we do rely on this information, and that's in most cases that is far enough. What we do, however, normally do is that we have a due diligence by a third party. But this is, again, it's mostly for the technical part. We want to see the organization. We want to see certificates to be sure that the technical work can be properly done.
Excellent. Thank you for that further insight. I noted that you did mention doing a possible third-party audit, so I would love to table that and come back to that later in the conversation. But I think this is a great opportunity to bring up that relationship that you just mentioned. Jet Aviation and Credit Suisse has been long-standing partners in business and operations, so I think it would be a great opportunity to shift the focus now over to our Jet Aviation experts. So David, Norbert, how would you ensure that a finance aircraft's value is not at risk during operation by an aircraft management provider? What would Jet's perspective be?
Sean, the financial institutions and operators around the world really live in a heavily regulated environment. And with that comes significant risk of operations around the world. The beginning part of this relationship is really about the tripart agreement that Michelle mentioned before. It's about establishing the consent and the agreements and really the foundational structure between these relationships. So each party clearly understands what their obligations are and also what their rights are within these agreements. After the structure is identified and reviewed through organizationally, not only from separate legal counsels that are involved in the operation of this aircraft, but also clearly understood from the operations and maintenance team, we need to ensure that there are strong standards in our flight operations and in our maintenance group that ensures that we adhere to the requirements and the language that are in these tri-party agreements, that we are satisfying the requirements of the financial institutions and also protecting the asset that the owner is paying for.
Dave, I want to pick up on a point that you made, regulatory compliance. I think that's one of the other areas where we can really add value as an aircraft management company traveling either in the U.S. or internationally. It is very important that we are compliant with all the regulations, and it takes a larger management company to understand the different requirements across the world. Being in non-compliance can end up exposing somebody to significant fines if that's not the case. I think the other point I would make is it pays to have somebody who is an experienced partner with a global footprint. Just something that happened to us recently, but one of our aircraft that came over from another management company, they were denied. They were taxiing out to the runway and were stopped and asked to turn around because some years ago they had not paid a landing fee. So we were able to support that client with our boots on the ground and get that landing fee paid. So again, ensuring that the value of an aircraft is preserved, you have to be aligned with a company that has a strong know-how in the regulatory environment. But then also it helps that it has a global footprint that it can support an aircraft when it travels all over the world with specific know-how.
Something that stood out to me there, gentlemen, both of you were obviously speaking to the very technical and global footprint that is really required to be a valuable aircraft management partner. And I heard, you know, key phrases such as compliance, global footprint, experience partner. How would you typically monitor the asset protection during the operations? Be providing a global footprint and maintaining compliance, how can you show to the aircraft owner this experience of asset protection?
They have to choose the right partner, and they have to have peace of mind about who they have aligned themselves with. And so when it comes to that, I think in choosing us, the owner has to ask himself some question: who is this company that we're aligning with? How long have they been in business? What is their financial stability? And what is their ownership structure? And I think once they answer those questions satisfactorily, they will pick a company that will give them peace of mind. I think the next thing is asset protection has to do with mandates and upgrades. The industry is constantly developing new processes and new products. And so in order for an aircraft to maintain its value, we've got to keep up with the mandates. There can be consequences if an aircraft flies into European airspace and it doesn't meet all those mandates. There can be consequences if the proper upgrades are not done because an aircraft will lose its value. The OEMs continue to develop and improve their aircraft, and it is up to a management company to provide the owners with sound advice that will preserve the value of the aircraft. For example, the whole issue of Wi-Fi. If an owner can obviously choose, if he just operates in the US, he installs Gogo. But if he's somebody that travels worldwide, it's probably the best thing to do Ka-band. And so a solid management company will be able to provide good advice that will allow the owner to enjoy the aircraft more. But at the same time, these upgrades that are being installed will definitely protect the value of the aircraft long-term.
Norbert, you spoke about protecting the aircraft's value, and it's really the key element of a management company is to look forward and really protect the asset and the valuation of that aircraft, not only just stabilizing it, but also increasing the value of looking at all different opportunities that are out there to ensure that it meets these mandates and requirements, but also meets the customer's needs. Part of that is really exceeding the minimum requirements. When we talk about regulatory baseline, it's really the floor of what the minimum requirement is to operate regulatory compliance, but it may not meet the customer's needs or exceed the regulatory requirements. That's why our focus really is about best practices. And if you look at Jet Aviation organizationally, we have many accreditations with third-party approvers that come in and audit our operations, from ISPAO to our FBOs, which is compliant with ISBA, many of our MROs that are compliant with many regulatory authorities or civil aviation authorities that authorize them to perform maintenance on the aircraft. Our focus is really about best practices, and we leverage that globally by looking at the values of what we can provide from APAC to MEA in the U.S. and collaborate that together so we can really define what our best practice is to operate and maintain aircraft really above the minimum. And that enhances the reliability to our customers, the reliability of their aircraft, the performance of their aircraft, and the performance of their service provider.
Thank you, Dave and Norbert. I know that we've been diving deep into this concept of asset protection, but I really think that to the listener's benefit, we probably can just take a scenario where we start in the beginning of the receipt of an aircraft to Jet Aviation or to an aircraft manager and really talk about what Jet Aviation means when we use the phrase asset protection. So I asked Dave, Norbert, maybe you can just walk us through the general phases involved in, you know, acceptance of an aircraft. How do we staff the aircraft and operate it? What sort of maintenance protocols do we have in place? So if you two can both talk about that topic, I think that would be super valuable before we move on to the next discussion.
Sean, I may get a little bit technical here with my background in maintenance, but certainly when you look at when we first have access to an aircraft, we apply a phase in our conformity review of the aircraft. It's really a deep dive into the records of the aircraft. When many aircraft go through a pre-purchase technical appraisal, they'll do, again, these baseline requirements to ensure airworthiness of the aircraft and inspecting, physically inspecting the aircraft. But the team at Jet Aviation dives really deep into ensuring that our maintenance inspection program is current and up-to-date and accurate and reflects the condition of the aircraft. It's all the documentation that supports the airworthiness and the regulatory compliance of that aircraft. As we need to submit these airplanes into the FAA, we need to ensure that we are meeting those requirements and ensuring that we're delivering upon what the customer expects of us and the financial institutions expect of us to ensure that we have the right documentation supporting the condition of this aircraft. At that phase-in and conformity process, when we do this deep dive, not only do we do a review of all the records to ensure that they exist, but we'll also digitize the relevant documents to protect the diminution of value if those records are lost or misplaced or damaged. When you look at the industry, if someone were to lose records on an aircraft, there is a devaluation of the aircraft of approximately $1 million. The efforts that we take internally to validate and digitally store those records really protect the value of that. And that's where I think that we bring the biggest value to the financial institutions as well as our customers.
Sean, as I think of asset protection, there are two things that come to mind. I think one of the most important elements is the crew. So to me, asset protection starts in the crew selection process. And there, Jet Aviation has a very robust selection process. Candidates go through multi-layered phase interviews. And then in the end, we usually have a group that we present to the owners for final selection. The next piece is operations. And when I say operations, let me just paint it in terms of big picture. It starts before the flight. The advantage of a management company, particularly a management company of our size, is that it is not just one pilot that will look at the flight and determine the risks. In the case of a management company such as ours, it's an entire team that has a risk assessment process that will put the flight through that process. And in the end, as a team, they will mitigate the risks. So when we talk about asset protection, a management company can add so many more layers of safety than just an individual pilot could.
So Norbert, after we've selected our crew and we have our established operations and we've trained those crew to our specific operations, it's really about finding the right maintenance service provider that will be able to support this aircraft. We also need to plan for contingencies for unscheduled maintenance events. And you look at a global footprint that Jet Aviation has, we have the ability to deploy assets to be able to recover these airplanes when they have these unfortunate events. We also send out requests for proposals for several hundreds of maintenance events that we aggregate that. And we look at varying points of selecting a service provider. It really starts with quality. We want to make sure that we have a right quality partner in our maintenance service provider. But it also dives down into what is the capabilities? Can they get us out of that maintenance event if there's something discovered during that scheduled event that requires some back shop or real heavy technical support on those aircraft? But it looks at price and it looks at downtime as well to make sure that we're selecting the right partner for that customer and meeting those customer needs and requirements.
Asset protection. Nobody wants their aircraft to be involved in an incident. We vet every service provider because we take this challenge or this burden seriously. We ensure that they have the right safety record, they have the correct capabilities, and they have the right service level.
Thank you, Dave and Norbert. That was a fantastic overview of the many facets of operating the aircraft and how to proactively engage asset protection and to mitigate any potential risk. I think it's clear that when choosing an aircraft management provider, it really requires the organization to not only be a passive manager, but also a proactive advisor. Super interesting. I think that we have covered the key components in the operations of the aircraft under ideal conditions, so let's shift gears here. I'd like to circle back to that comment you made earlier, Michelle, regarding potential audits of an aircraft management company. Are there ever instances where you will request an audit of an aircraft management provider?
Yes, there are. But I would say for a company like Jet Aviation, we would not, because I mentioned we have sufficient experience, good experience with many of your centers, many of your people across the globe. So that would not be necessary. We do that more for smaller operators that we don't know. smaller operators, sometimes in locations where we see they don't have necessarily a lot of experience, or especially when there are operators who do not have AOCs, so we suspect they might not have the experience. So there we work with externals or with third parties who perform audits for us, and audit is really focusing then on the maintenance and record keeping and things like that. For us, it's a little bit less important, for example, crew management, etc. Of course, this is important as well for the client, but for us as a bank, this is not the central point. It's really about maintaining the aircraft properly, having a camo in place, doing the records properly, storing the records at the right place. And we have seen there quite surprising things. I mean, the worst case, if I may add this as an anecdote, the worst we ever saw was an operator who stored the logbooks in the same room as he had the things to clean. So they were inflammable liquids right below the logbooks. So, of course, we never worked with this operator. So these are the things we see, but in general, for larger operators, we don't perform any audits at all.
Safety, safety, safety. I love it. Thank you, Michelle. Safety is absolutely, clearly the running trend line and theme of this conversation. I think it's been made quite clear that even though this is a valuable asset, it's not just about maintaining the financial aspect of the operation, but the only way to really mitigate any risk to that financial value of the aircraft is through safety. Dave and Norbert, I know at Jet Aviation that safety is our paramount number one aspect in our culture. How would you say that Jet Aviation demonstrates our safety culture, and what is a safe flight?
Sean, before we can conduct any flight, we must ensure that we have the right culture and safety culture inside our organization with a proper reporting system and feedback mechanism. Every employee needs to ensure that every comment that they provide to the organization is without retribution to them. We look at every single comment that's provided from our team and evaluate them to improve our organization. Inside of Jet Aviation, we have three directors or vice presidents of safety that control our US, EMEA, and APAC regions. They're responsible for driving that safety culture within our organization, evaluating all the comments, looking at any opportunities that we have to make improvements within our organization. We have looked at many different software programs that help us manage the safety programs and our comments provided to us. Some work very well for FBOs, some other ones work very well for operations, and others work very well for MROs. But since we are in all of these spaces, we've decided to develop our own based on all best practices from not only these other softwares, but also the different regulatory responsibilities that we have and the best practices we've applied into our organization. We take that information, it's evaluated by our safety personnel. So underneath the vice presidents of our safety regionally, they have personnel underneath them that evaluate each and every one of these events. As we evaluate them, we look at root cause and we look at corrective actions that we can apply to our manuals, to our training process, to our overall health and safety for each and every one of our employees. That starts really the foundation of what our safety program is about before we ever conduct the first flight and the first trip. After we're conducting trips, we then have a flight data management program internal to JET that allows us to look at how we're conducting those flights, which provides us valuable feedback into the operations of our aircraft to improve our training, to improve our procedures, to improve our manuals and our documentation, to absolutely ensure from end to end, we are looking at safety before a trip ever happens and after a trip is concluded.
Dave, I agree with you that safety is an ongoing process, and when it comes to safety of flight, without a doubt, it starts before the flight. I see three obvious components. The first component is the crew. We got to make sure that they have all the right training in place, their licenses are valid, but also things that people tend to forget is we want to make sure they had enough crew rest. So again, crew is very important. It's one of the three pillars of a safe flight. The second part is the aircraft. we've got to make sure that the aircraft is in airworthy condition. And that means either whatever a pre-flight or post-flight was done, or it's up to date and all the on all its maintenance. But we've got to make sure that when we release an aircraft, it is in an airworthy condition. And the last part, and certainly not the least, is the flight itself. And again, like I said previously, when it comes to the flight, it is preparation before the flight that will ensure the safety. To manage the risk of each trip, Jet Aviation utilizes a flight risk assessment tool that takes into account items such as crew qualifications, airport runways, weather, airport notices, and the maintenance status. What this does, it allows us to insert multiple layers of safety into our operation so the pilot is not alone looking at the trip, but a key team of stakeholders are providing risk mitigation solutions.
Thank you, Norbert, for walking us through that process. I have a question, though. What would Jet Aviation do if the trip or the operation is flagged as too high of a potential risk? What sort of mitigation processes do we have in place to make sure that we're protecting the asset as well as the client?
Sean, as we go through our risk assessment, we look at each and every risk and identify a score relative to that. When we have a trip that meets a threshold that is determined to be too risky of an operation, we then start looking into each and every one of those line items to make a determination. Can we mitigate that risk? Is it a night landing at a high altitude airport? Is there performance margins that are just too close to look at? We then bring our subject matter experts internally from an operations, maintenance, performance. We rely on the manufacturers to dive in and look at each and every one of these areas to provide a solution back to the customer. Our objective is to never say no. Our objective is to always find a solution for the customer, mitigate that down to an acceptable risk. That's what the customer expects of us. That's what the financial institutions expect of us. That's what the industry looks upon Jet Aviation, of finding solutions to support their needs and their requirements and their requests.
Thank you again, Dave and Norbert. I think that is a great place to leave the discussion today as we close out our segment. I just want to thank everyone for the extremely insightful discussions. It's become quite clear from this Jet Talks podcast that Credit Suisse and Jet Aviation both operate from a safety culture and a place of safety first, always and always. I would like to give you gentlemen an opportunity now for any final comments or closing remarks and anything that you might feel is important to leave our listeners with today. Why don't we start with you, Michelle?
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me. It was a great pleasure to be part of this. And of course, I hope that we will have many aircraft together where we can serve a client and make him happy. So thanks again. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Michelle. And I agree. David.
Sean, first I want to thank Michelle and Credit Suisse for being such a strong partner and participating in this. I think a key takeaway is really know your customer. Understand exactly what their expectations are. How do they plan on operating this aircraft? What is their flight profile? What is their mission? And can you execute on that mission? From the customer and the financial institutions, it's know the operator. Know exactly what their capabilities are, their accreditations, their standards, and can they actually meet the requirements in this tri-party agreement? And also know that they have, also understand that they have a very strong partnership relationship to support the operation of the aircraft. Those three key elements of really knowing what is expected, what your obligations are, and what your rights are will lead to a key success.
I agree wholeheartedly, Dave. And finally, Norbert.
I think all I can really do is echo what Dave said. Right partnerships make for long-term relationships. And I think when it comes to a management context, the relationship between the bank, us, and the customer is, if that is a strong partnership, that is an excellent relationship that I think all three will be very satisfied.
Excellent. Thank you, Norbert. And I do want to say that I want to thank you three for being the right partnership for today, and hopefully this will continue to facilitate our long-term relationship. I love that phrase, Norbert. I think we all can confidently agree that our listeners will be able to leave this session taking away some great advice and some information to also be considered. Thank you again to Norbert, Michelle, and David, as well as to all the listeners out there. We really appreciate you taking the time to tune in to our Jet Talks podcast series, and we look forward to sharing more episodes with you soon. Until then, stay safe and be well. Take care, everyone.